Chapter 16. Undine. Desolation Point. The northeastern anchorage was treacherous, but, as Allegra had indicated, deep enough to admit the submerged draft of the Tiamat. With little else but the conning tower breaking the surface, Captain Lux Allegra accompanied Commander Tyrone's Marineer Elites out onto the small observation deck. The Elites carried garrison-duty dirks and stubby las carbines slung in waterproof casings. The grating was awash with a chemical broom that passed for seawater on Undine. The commander and several other Elites had hauled personal sweeps up onto the deck. The sweeps were one-man watercraft, lightweight planers that consisted of a pontoon chassis, steering bars, and a high-power churn fan. Setting off towards the colony outcrop that was Desolation Point on the sweeps, the watercraft's riders dragged behind them wire ladders, to which Allegra and the other Elites clung. The sky was streaming with rocks and crash capsules falling towards the ocean surface. Fountains of spray erupted from impact sites. The greenskin descent wave had reached Desolation Point before them. As Allegra had predicted, the anchorage was largely deserted. Vox casts would have warned the many denizens of the Marauder colony of the horror to come. Those with grapnel rigs, solar jammers, and Q-craft took to the seas, taking as many with them as could afford to leave the island. Even now, vessels were streaming out of port, smoke-belching outriggers, armed freighters, and plasteel-clad sloops. Although they remained low in the water and were not advertising their presence, Allegra and the Elites didn't need to avoid such pirate vessels on their shoreline approach. Each was being horrifically boarded. As green alien hulks hauled themselves up the vessels, they tore pieces off them and swamped the decks with brutality and carnage. The creatures soaked up canister shot from pintle-mounted deck weapons and made short work of pistol-blazing raiders, who eventually had little choice but to climb for their towers and rigging. The colony itself, a fragile accretion of scrap, adapted giga containers and chain walkways, had been well on its way to becoming a proto-hive. The restrictions of the island bedrock meant that designs became more vertiginous and the rising architecture increasingly perilous. Fires were feeding their way through the pirate haven, with smoke snaking from underbuildings and corrugated citadels. As Commander Tyrone guided his sweep through the choppy waters of the evacuating anchorage, Allegra held on tight, her eyes kept busy with the demise of Desolation Point. The captain had not got off to the best start with the Elites. There had been several reasons for this. Firstly, like Tyrone, they largely hailed from the southern hives, and so were naturally suspicious of a salt-pale northerner like Allegra. Her tattoos and piercings marked her out as being a turncoat, a pirate turned privateer. The kind of scum that real marineers like Tyrone and his men traditionally hunted. Her marineer rank, similarly, had little meaning for them either. Her screeching eagles had been grunt coastals and boardsmen, not the highly trained tacticals that General Pfeiffer retained for his security detail. The final insult was Allegra's insistence that they eat before they set off on their mission. Tyrone told her that he didn't expect the operation to last long enough to warrant rations, while his men gave her jaundiced glares. Besides, if needed, Elites could live off the ocean for as long as the mission dictated. Allegra had been forced to make her insistence an order and gave each marineer a rations can of toonweed. Several refused to eat the pungent mush until Tyrone, too, made it an order to do so. Toonweed, while cheap and nutritious, was considered a pauper's dish by the mezzo-hivers since it got its name from the crop forests that grew on the bottom of roving pontoon shanties. Coming largely from sub-spire military families, the Elites regarded the stinking slaw with disgust. As the sweeps churned away, dragging the Marineer Elites, Tiamat dropped back below the waves. Commander Tyrone wasted no time in making a direct approach, but Allegra directed him towards the bare rock of a jagged spit on the anchorage side. As the sweeps drew closer, it became apparent to the Elites that the rocky shoreline of the island was awash with green-skinned beasts, clawing their way out of the sea and shaking water from their brute weaponry. Pockets of resistance were evident across the haven, with the Ocean World pirates employing the island's defences against the greenskin invaders rather than the enemy for which they were intended, planetary defence and security forces like the approaching Marineer elites. The spit seemed relatively sparse of alien invaders, and it soon became clear to the elites why. The water about the spit seemed agitated, and it had nothing to do with the currents or rock formations about the coastline. Like thick, rubbery propeller screws, a school pack of helichondra surged for the shale beach. Long, muscular serpent forms, the native creatures cut through the water in a helical spiral motion. They were prey for many of the ocean world's marine megafauna, but also predators in their own right. They whirled their way through the shallows until, forming rigid, rubbery shafts, they surged up the shale beach to snatch flippered marine mammals from a dog colony that existed on the spit. The blubber dog meat was greasily repugnant and not favoured by the inhabitants of Desolation Point. The helichondra pack, however, would reach up the beach like a single, tentacular beast, slithering around the surprised blubber dogs and their pups before dragging them back to the shallows for unfussy ingestion. As Tyrone cautiously led the sweeps towards the shale, the elites could see that the water was bobbing with distended serpents, dazed, full and floating, after devouring the bounty of greenskins, unfortunate enough to choose the spit as their approach to the haven. Other monsters could be seen on the beach, set upon by three or four of the rubbery constrictors, each attempting to swallow the aliens there on the shale. With arms and legs disappearing down the rippling lengths of the serpents, and the helichondra crushing bones and rib cages underneath their knots and coils, the orcs were thinning out on the spit. A serpentine head suddenly shot from the water and hit Tyrone's sweep and drag ladder broadside. The helichondra elegantly snatched the elite behind Allegra on the wire ladder and took the screaming marineer below the waves on the other side. The full length of the animal proceeded to coil about the vehicle without touching the sweep, drag, or other elites. The soldiers behind Allegra began to reach for their dirks, and Tyrone slowed the sweep. The captain remembered the man behind her as a smirking soldier who had refused to eat his rations. "He didn't eat the toonweed," Allegra called, casting a look behind her and then forwards at the commander who had peered around angrily. Whether he was furious with Allegra or the unfortunate marineer, it was hard to tell. "The serpents have a sensitive sense of smell. They can't stand the weed." She turned back to Tyrone. "It's what keeps the islanders safe from attacks," she gestured at the spit, "and makes the invader vulnerable. Beach us there." Allegra pointed to a bare patch of shale nearby. Unconvinced, but with little choice but to trust the former pirate's local knowledge, Commander Tyrone led the sweeps up onto the shale beach. Once on the shore, the elites fell to frantically extracting their las carbines from their waterproof cases and assembling silencers and frequency flash suppressors. With one eye on the chemical surf for surging serpents and the other on their assemblage, the elites seemed nervous. Crouching in the bleached shale, Allegra watched greenskins dragged back into the water by muscular lengths of helichondra and heard the wet barks of blubber dogs further up the spit, sounding the alarm for their colony. Commander Tyrone carried two carbines and was assembling them twice as fast as the rest of his men. Taking one for himself and throwing Allegra the other, Tyrone pointed to the breech of his weapon as demonstration. "Suppressor," he indicated, then moved a dark digit to a megathule modulator. "Set to a spectral frequency outside of visible range." Allegra nodded. Her production line Marineer Laz rifle had sported no such feature. It was going to be difficult shooting without a searing beam to guide her. "Just look for the smouldering bodies," Tyrone said. Allegra nodded again before making her way up the shale bank. The commander followed, leading his elites. They all moved swiftly but cautiously, their barrels following their eyes as they scanned the beach for hostiles. It soon became clear to even the most prejudiced of the mezzohivers that the sea scum captain had saved them both ammunition and encounters with the enemy. Every greenskin hulk they passed being dragged back through the shale or being slowly coil-crushed and devoured would have had to have been killed by the marineers. Allegra led the way along the spit and through the barking packs of terrified blubber dogs. The storage dumps and black markets lining the haven shore were ablaze. Precious goods and raided cargoes were furious with flame, and the thick-set alien thugs were bulldozing their way through the labyrinth of stalls and harbour-bound stocks. It was unclear whether the greenskins had set the haven alight or whether the remaining pirates had. Many raiders had worked out of Desolation Point their whole lives and would have been loath to give up to an alien invader. Some determined resistance was being mounted in the accretion squares, mezzanine chem distilleries, and obscurer dens. Mostly, what Allegra saw of her marauder kin, however, as the elites moved silently through the maze of corrugation and scrap, were whores and young rovers being hacked to pieces by greenskin savages. As the contingency force made their way through the Brethren Haven, the captain recognized locations from a childhood spent climbing, swinging, and jumping from one salvage building to another. A rattling refrigeration vault from where she used to steal Ichthid eggs. The needle den where she received a crude tattoo commemorating her second birth on a pirate vessel. A scud wrestling den where she saw her first life taken. All Tyrone had said about the Imperial Army storage depot was that it had a central location. So that was where Allegra led them. Through habstacks, across bridge alleyways, and through street strata, the Marineer elites negotiated a colony under siege. Where they could, Tyrone and his men avoided firefights and ramshackle fortifications. Where the gutter mouths of raiders could be heard bawling curses at invading hulks, and the brute chug of greenskin weaponry chewed through corrugated walls and foundation pillars, the elites pulled back and had Allegra lead them a different way. They were not outfitted to wage war amongst the Haven habitations. They were equipped for a singular mission and purpose. On the occasions when orc barbarians could not be avoided or simply tusk-charged their way through walls and scrap metal frontage, the elites fell to their work with determination and economy. Although their las carbines betrayed nothing but the drumming stub of automatic fire, beams transparent and invisible, their collective marksmanship was revealed in the thrashing impacts burning into greenskin unfortunates and the smouldering fall of alien cadavers. With such weapons, it took a cumulative and communal effort to kill just one of the beasts, but the elite's fire discipline and the economy and efficiency of their purpose was beyond question. Jangling lightly across the chain walkways and descending into a much older morass of crushed habitations and reinforced underpassages, Allegra led Commander Tyrone and his elites to the center of Desolation Point, a high-rise aggregation of obscure dens, infusion houses, and bordellos. At the captain's confirmation of such, Commander Tyrone produced a tracking Auspex to scan for munitions signatures. After a moment, the Auspex told him that there were indeed munitions in reasonable quantities matching the old Imperial Army signatures of a depot cache, but they were deep below. "This goes down?" Tyrone queried. "A number of sublevels," Allegra recalled. At the Haven Center, the greenskins were absent in any number. The same could not be said for raiders and marauders. Desolation Point was the closest thing any of them had to a home. They were not going to give it up to the newly arrived alien invader, nor the enemy of old, the Undine security forces.
"Get them snappers on the deck,"
a voice called from above. The accent was thick and guttural. The elites tensed, their eyes down the lengths of their las carbines, barrels aimed up and down the length and height of the street. A number of marauder gunhands were making their way down a mesh stairwell, holding high-powered auto rifles and working bolt actions with grim menace. There were others on balcony walkways and patchwork roofs. Most had heavy-duty sights, but one or two even sported cracked scopes on their scuffed plastock rifles.
"I said get them down in the rust,"
the voice came again. Their skipper stepped out onto the street. Like his men, he was all tattoos and dreadlocks, but indulged the extravagance of a grand hat and coat. His coarse hand rested on the grip of a fat stub revolver that nestled in his thick belt.
"We don't have time for this," Commander Tyrone told Allegra.
"What do you want me to do?"
the captain said absently. It seemed improbably that her attention was elsewhere.
"They are the Brethren. They are your people," the commander pressed, his las carbine moving between the skipper and the two shotgun-wielding bodyguards that had walked out casually to flank him. Do you think we have a secret handshake or something?
That's exactly what I thought.
Sorry to disappoint you, Commander, Allegra said, her eyes travelling up beyond the death-trap balconies and mesh catwalks. These men are brethren, that's true, but they're also stone-cold killers. They'll try to end us whatever we do. Words will just antagonize them further.
I'm gonna count to three,
the skipper spat. His men trained their weapons on the mariners. The elites trained their las carbines back. Allegra returned her eyes to the narrow strip of sky visible up through the chain walks, meshing and steep-sided accretions. She had been watching something above them.
One!
When the signal is given, the captain said to the mariners, make your way swiftly down through the sublevels.
What's the signal?
The commander wanted to know.
Two.
You'll know it when you hear it, Allegra replied.
Three,
the brethren skipper snarled. Allegra saw him go for his stub gun. He would have got to it, too, if it hadn't been for the impact. With so many crash capsules and rocks smacking into the surrounding ocean, it was only a matter of time before one actually struck the island colony itself. Allegra had been tracking the oily smear of the rock's descent, watching it grow bigger and more imminent. By the captain's estimation, it hit somewhere on the eastern side of Desolation Point, but it had been a hard landing, rock on rock. The impact was ear-splitting. The immediate shockwave was enough to violently tremble through balconies, walkways, and accretion structures. As the skipper and his pirate gunhands became preoccupied with the instability of their surroundings, Commander Tyrone and his elite mariners did as they were ordered. They dropped down through cutways and ladder wells onto the sublevel below with their captain. As Allegra led them down through the dank meshways and underpasses, the soldiers could hear the howl of the impact gales above, whipping through the insanity of the architecture. This was followed swiftly by the cacophonous boom and excruciating moan of metalwork twisting and buckling. Buildings were toppling against and through one another as the shockwave rippled out from its impact point. As the mariners dropped, scrambled and skidded down through the rotting and rusted sublevels, with passages and reinforced chambers collapsing about them, Allegra and Commander Tyrone corrected their course. Allegra had a natural feel for the underhive environs of her youth, whereas Tyrone used as his guiding star the signature traces recorded by his handheld Auspex. Countless levels down, and with a partially demolished colony settling dangerously above them, Allegra and the mariners reached what they thought to be the rustwater-flooded bottom. The captain felt bedrock beneath her boots. Several of the elites had activated their lamps and followed their commander as he in turn followed the insistence of the Auspex through the knee-deep brown waters. As the Auspex delivered its final verdict, Tyrone stopped and looked to Allegra. The captain nodded. Kneeling down, the commander felt his way through the waters. Removing several fistfuls of rust muck, Tyrone's usually grim face broke with a moment of relief.
Got it,
he said to himself. Get those lamps in here, he ordered. But no amount of illumination was going to cut through the murky water.
Just do it by touch, Commander, Allegra said.
Tyrone grunted before pulling back the sleeve on one arm to reveal silver ink on his ebony skin. The Imperial Army security passcodes for the munitions depot.
4-point perimeter, Tyrone ordered the elites. We don't know who or what might have followed us down here.
Nothing could have got through that,
one of the mariners replied, jabbing a thumb skywards.
We did, Allegra told him simply.
Just do it,
Tyrone ordered, beginning to punch the codes into the submerged and chunky glyph grid. It took several attempts to input the codes. Whether the commander misstruck a glyph stud, or the water-infiltrated and antiquated hatch mechanism didn't recognize the code, was anyone's guess. As the hatch finally popped, rust water started pouring down through the opening. With several of his mariners, Tyrone managed to get the hatch fully open.
You four remain here, he ordered the perimeter elites. This is a maximum security depot. Nothing gets in. Do you understand?
Yes, Commander,
the mariners returned. The munitions depot stank of rust and old air. It felt like a place of death. Climbing down the access ladder into the darkness, Allegra could almost hear the echo of old hatreds. enmities of an older age, detestations strong enough to make forces want to inflict weapons of absolute destruction on one another, the kinds of weapons the depot had been built to house. With rust water still pouring in from above and pooling about their boots, Lux Allegra and the Marinere elites stood at the bottom of the chamber. Amongst the servo cranes and pulley systems, orbital torpedoes and biological weapons sat in their cradles and carriers. Even through the flaking paint and rusted casings, the ominous glyphs and symbols, still visible on their sides, made it clear which of the munitions were weapons exterminatus. Taking pride of place at the heart of the chamber, and keeping court in a dank palace of doom and destruction, the contingency force located the object of their mission. Three fat virus bombs sat there, rusted, forgotten, and unrealized of purpose. As the elites set lamp beams and eyes on the life-eaters, splashing footfalls became light and voices became hushed. Allegra and the Marineers stood and stared at the virus bombs. Dark moments passed. Allegra took a deep breath of stale, corroded air.
"Master Vox," she ordered.
The elite assigned to hump the comms unit slipped its weight off his back and handed it to her. Settling it on a nearby torpedo, Allegra set the frequency.
"Tiamat, this is Elite One. Come in."
The Vox static howled around the darkness of the depot.
"Elite One to Tiamat. Passcode Kappa, Theta, Iota. This is a command priority. Please respond."
As the cold loneliness of the unanswered Vox request crept through the bones of the Marineers, Commander Tyrone looked to Allegra for orders. She passed the hailer back to the Vox operator.
"Keep trying," she told him before turning back to Tyrone. "Let's get to work, Commander," Allegra ordered.
Slipping his demolitions pack off one shoulder, the Marineer officer knelt down in the rising water before the first bomb and set to priming the Life Eater for a launchless detonation.